Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Let's begin. Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, July 13th, 2020. Man, this is a hot day here in Texas. We're just thrilled to come here with you. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're just thrilled to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. And yes, we're going video. Got StreamYard. We're all set up. We're working on getting it all connected so we can hit the push button and get it sent out to multiple sources at the same time. So you'll be able to watch and listen. Everything should stay the same if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio. By the way, if you're sharing our podcast, be sure to share them from our website. I noticed that Roostify's got shared a couple times from the Blog Talk Radio website. That's fine if you do that. It's nothing wrong. You just got to tell everyone in advance to the so far in to be able to share the specific. Our hot topic is extra hot because it's coming to you live from hot Austin, Texas. 106 degrees is what I think I read it's going to be today. But we're going to be doing something that we haven't done in a long time. We get a lot of requests for it. We're going to have a roundtable discussion of the regulars. So we're going to be talking a whole bunch of issues, and I'm really excited to get into it. I want to say a special thank you to Industry Syndicate. We're proud to be a part of it. Go check out all the podcasts at industrysyndicate.com. Proud to be a part of mortgagemedia.com. Check that out. To give you so many shout outs to our various listeners that are out there, I just want to say thank you to all our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Be sure to check out Mortgage Action Alliance app. You can download it on your smartphone. That way you can have your voice heard in Washington, D.C. You should read over what is there. I can't imagine you wouldn't be in agreement with what the NBA is doing, but read over it. Stay in touch with what they're advocating on the Hill on our behalf. I have confidence in what they're doing, so I oftentimes read it. If I agree with it, I hit the send button, and automatically it goes out to all the various branches of the government where my voice needs to be heard based on my zip code. Sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Also, Finastra, whose mortgage bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction with increased productivity. They're doing some really innovative things. Check out the Finastra website, third largest fintech company in the world. They got a huge resources behind them, and I want to make sure you get over and check them out. Check them out at our website at Lincoln on Lending, as well as all of our sponsors there. We also want to say thank you for the membership and the privilege of having Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative join us as sponsors. They're both mortgage co-ops, creating competitive advantages for both lender and vendor members. Also, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, very excited about that partnership, as well as Indicom. If you're looking for a solution for outsourcing, check out Indicom. Also, Incelerate. Josh is helping lenders close more loans through engaging borrowers and forming tighter connections. They got some great technology. Josh just did a webinar. Be sure to get a copy of that. Ainsworth Advisors, more and more of the GSEs or the investors are saying, who's advising you? Kind of who looks over your business? Go check out ainsworthadvisors.com to see who can be on there and help you be overseeing your business. Not managing your business. This is a board of advisor service. It's a great service, and the agencies and many of the investors are wanting to know more. By the way, there is a new update on the Ainsworth Advisor website. Encourage you to go listen to it. That's one of the reasons you want to go regularly to the Ainsworth Advisor website. Encourage you to check it out. Also, AI Assist. In the world of artificial intelligence, it's becoming more and more what we're doing. You need to check out AI Assist. And also, while you're doing that, go check out unique.com. We had them on as a guest, and that podcast has taken off like you cannot believe. So unique, UNEEQ.com, the digital human combined with AI Assist, is amazing. Also, Celebrity Home Loans is growing through acquisitions. Talk to David Robnett, talk to Pete Gabrion there. That team is a great group. Check them out. As well as Knowledge Coop, great way to get your training done. Oh, man, we've got to be training people. Are we doing a good job of training your people? How are you doing it? You need to check out Knowledge Coop. Ken Perry and the team is the leading provider of learning management Management System. One of the things I learned all about Learning Management System from Alice Alvey. She is the best at that. So check out Knowledge Cube. Mobility RE, as well as Modex, providing great tools for you in recruiting top LOs, as well as engaging with realtors. Really like what they're both doing. Velma, Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. VendorSurf, when you're looking for vendors, check them out. And Vidyard, great way. I'm using Vidyard like crazy right now for recording videos and hosting videos. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the Hot Topic segment today. And so we're going to have the regulars joining us. Also, I think Les Parker just joined in. We're looking forward to have Les Parker alive with us in the Hot Topic segment. Got some things for him. Also, a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Matt for their contributions to the podcast each and every week. So let's start off by getting over to Rob Van Raphorst with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news in the Mortgage Bankers Association. Yesterday, MBA released its latest forbearance and call volume survey, which revealed that the total number of loans now in forbearance decreased by 21 basis points from 8.39% to 8.18% as of July 5th, 2020. According to MBA's estimate, 4.1 million homeowners are now in forbearance plans. Notably, 43% of loans in forbearance are now in an extension following the initial forbearance term, while more than 10% of borrowers entered into a deferral plan to exit forbearance. This is down from 16% the week prior. For those exiting forbearance over the next several months, MBA expects to see many of the borrowers with GSE loans to utilize the deferral option. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Appreciate that. The deferral option is interesting, and you need to check that out. We may get into that in the Hot Topic segment. So as Alice and Andy and the various ones research that, that'll give them a homework to do between now and when we go into the Hot Topic segment. But anyway, appreciate Rob Van Raphorst for getting us that. Again, check out the Mortgage Action Alliance. All the MBA conferences are going to be virtual this year, even the annual conference. That saddens me. I love the annual conference, but I understand it. I get it. COVID's real, and we're seeing just a spike here in Texas and Florida and different parts of the country. We need to take this thing seriously. Les Parker is here live with us, but we're going to get him live in a minute. So here's Les's pre-recorded comments with the macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Brothers and comrades, pump up the volume. You're going to buy up. On July 1st, China pumped up the volume of stock purchases via its state-run media. If the major central banks can buy bonds, why can't the Chinese Communist Party use propaganda to get its subjects to buy stocks? Of course, China's central bank supports its financial system, too, but it offers distorted sounds about banks, companies, government, and the economy. Players learn to cut through the noise of news. For now, mortgage rates continue to stay near 3%, so pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, dance, dance. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Oh, yeah. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Yeah, you know what? Good job, Gary Ketchumone, Les Parker. I love that one. That is hilarious. Yeah. What works when you start singing in the shower? So, yeah, good hook there. Anyway, Matt Graham, good to have you here. Matt Graham is the founder and CEO of MBSLive.net and news contributor. We're so glad to have you here, friend. I've just redid my office, and I've got a dedicated monster monitor in my office right behind me. And I'm looking back here at this thing, and it is so nice to just have it up and running. Not only that, it kind of looks cool when I'm doing video.
Makes you look cool.
Yeah. Makes me look cool, but it's more than just the cool factor. It's the information in here is just amazing. I mean, you posted at 11:49 a.m. Robert Shiller warned that urban prices could decline. That is really interesting, especially when you look at all the urban dwellers. It's the COVID effect, people heading out. Lots of great information. Right. Let's get into an update on what's going on with the markets and what you got on the economic calendar this week.
Sounds good. Yeah, so just a quick recap of last week. It won't take long because it was pretty slow, very small economic data and events on the calendar, not much market movement, and that was especially true for stocks. Nonetheless, the bond market, aka interest rates, made some pretty impressive moves and had some very interesting volatility by the end of the week. So, in general, treasuries made it to lows not seen since, I think, late April. And that is one part of the movement for mortgage rates. But the other part is that mortgage bonds actually outperformed treasuries and made it to the best levels ever again, second week in a row. And mortgage rates, obviously, to new all-time lows. So this thing is getting interesting with mortgage rates now, because in the past, when we've hit all-time lows, 2012, and 2016 for some lenders, we haven't stayed there for very long. Once we hit a major new all-time low, then there was a pretty obvious bounce. And then it was not necessarily off to the races back toward higher levels, but we didn't hold those lows or near them. We started, at the very least, inching up. This time around, the new market realities created by coronavirus have meant that we have progressively set more new all-time lows in a two-month time window than we ever have before. And that's the kind of thing that everybody would like to know, if rates can continue to do that, or if we're at risk of a long-term bounce, the kind of bounce that we saw in 2012 and 2016. In answering those questions, there's no way to predict the future, obviously, for financial markets or interest rates, but that doesn't stop analysts from trying. We can talk about this a little bit more in the roundtable later on, but what I'm seeing this week is a sort of an interesting confluence of these two main schools of thought that analysts use to try to predict the future. I don't know how familiar listeners are with this sort of yin and yang of analysis, but you have fundamentals on one side and then technical analysis on the other side. When you see the people on the financial news talking about the various chart patterns, moving averages, there are all kinds of studies that can be overlaid on charts that people use to assign meaning or even try to predict the future of what's going to happen. And there's some validity to that. And there's certainly, obviously, validity to fundamental analysis, which means we're looking at the things that should matter in economic data and the news. And when those two agree, then we want to pay more attention. And so what I saw at the end of last week, and now maybe at the beginning of this week, remains to be seen, is some agreement in those two schools of thought. So on the one side, we have, the spike in coronavirus numbers was disconcerting and still is, but some people are sort of pointing to an early leveling off in some of the problem states. Florida is not among those today, but Texas, Arizona, California may be leveling off in some regards. And if that happens at the same time, that would be a fundamental signal, by the way. And then we'd have a technical signal in bonds, because bonds have done so well. A lot of the technical analysis really relies on momentum. And when we do well enough for long enough, then we think, maybe our luck has run out. Maybe that's going to reverse. So in a nutshell, the technical studies basically said bonds have done well enough for long enough that maybe they're going to reverse. We hadn't seen that until the very end of last week. And then when we saw it, it was a reasonably aggressive move in treasuries, but MBS, mortgage-backed securities, also began to underperform after steadily outperforming. So they stick pretty close together most of the time, but there's variations in performance, and MBS have been doing better than treasuries, which is why mortgage rates have been falling to all-time lows while treasury yields weren't quite there yet. So that's a concern. If we see more evidence of a leveling off process in the COVID numbers and the technical studies of bond market momentum continue to suggest that this is a shift that's underway, we might see rates try to push back a little bit. But we have seen that before, as recently as early June. And we all know how that turned out. So a lot remains to be seen. It's still about COVID, but I just think it's a good thing to keep in mind. At some point, the signals about a long-term bounce will be valid, and it will be the last all-time low you've seen for a long time. I personally haven't seen anything that makes me think that we've seen that yet, but at some point we will. And it's just good to be on the lookout for when that happens. Yeah. Not much on the calendar this week. We do have core CPI tomorrow. That's the inflation index, and it historically has been important, not important right now. The biggest ticket of this week will be Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m., where we have the confluence of retail sales, jobless claims, and the Philadelphia Fed Business Index. So retail sales is expected to rise again. If it does, and the COVID numbers are good, and jobless claims are lower than expected, then those are the kinds of things that could add up to pressure on the bond market and rate.
I love this. Why I knew you were going to talk about all this, because it's on your website. I'm looking at it.
There you go.
Love that.
economic calendar right there, square in the middle. Previous week, today, tomorrow, this week, and next week. Love this stuff. I love your site. Great tools, great technology, and great commentary. Appreciate you, Matt. Can't wait to have you join us in the Hot Topic segment. You're going to be able to stick on, join in, will you not, for the Hot Topic?
Absolutely. I couldn't miss it.
All right. I love it. Appreciate you, Matt. Graham, I'm so glad you're on the podcast with us every week. We're telling everyone we can about your service and your product. Great stuff. Alice Alvey, good to have you here live. Alice is the CMB Vice President of Education and Training at the Union Home Mortgage, and she's got this week's legislative update. Alice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're moving ahead. Thank goodness on the legislative front, Congress
yes.
is busy doing all kinds of other bills related to the pandemic and economic needs that they believe are important there for us to continue to increase our national debt. So that's a whole discussion, right? There's pros
yep.
and cons to that. But the bottom line for us from a legislative update standpoint, I just want to give folks a quick update on the main thing we're watching right now is the fact that the CFPB has a proposed rule to change the qualified mortgage rule. This is an important step in really dealing with Fannie and Freddie and the fact that they're still in conservatorship and trying to solve long-term for the fact that when you get an approval from DU and LP today, it's automatically considered to be in compliance with the qualified mortgage rule and therefore you're going to be in that good place of a safe harbor. At last week's show, I talked about the main components of the proposed rule, which would be the idea of not relying on a DTI and leaning more toward a comparison of an increase in the APR. Today, I want to focus on a couple other aspects of the rule, first of which is that they're asking for feedback on allowing verification of debts and income to come from reliable third-party documentation. And so if you think of today, we have an Appendix Q piece that describes all the documentation
right.
requirements. They want to do away with that, keep it simple, and just say, hey, if I got a verification from the work number or I have W-2s and pay stubs, I'm done. So let's keep it simple instead of overly complex. So that's one piece, which we're in favor of. The other piece that I think is interesting is considering a seasoning approach. I think this will really help the non-QM space. If you say, we originated the loan, we may not have gotten full verification. It was more of a bank statement type loan. But after a year, the borrowers made all their payments on time. Now it's seasoned and would now it qualify for at least being potentially in a rebuttable presumption, if not all the way as a safe harbor. I love this aspect. I think it's something the industry should push for because certainly if the loan shown is performed, I think this will help ease investors' minds. It'll give those types of lenders an out, so to speak. I just think it would be really good for the industry. So I'd love to see people throw some support behind that. And then for an effective date, they were looking at trying to make this effective 6 months after it passes. I'm not sure how our IT providers would feel about that. That's an off term to change up the technology that we use to calculate compliance with the regulation. So those were the last three parts of it that I didn't get a chance to touch on last week. And I wanted folks to have a little bit under their belt so that you can really get out there and comment. It doesn't take a lot. You simply go to the CFPB website. It's right there for notices and proposed rules, and you can put in your two cents on what you would support for each one of the aspects of this. Last but not least, for our community bankers, just a heads up, they did publish another request for comment on July 2nd. So we've got 60 days for this. They're going to try and change this up a bit. Community lenders, if you're $10 billion or less, you would not have to have the borrower have an escrow account if the loan was a high-priced mortgage loan. It's one of the things I think credit unions, lenders who aren't really set up to have escrow accounts really like about that because it can be difficult to manage escrow. But just a heads up, they're looking to change the rules on that. And you should go read that and make sure you're okay with the changes. One of the big changes is they want to put back in that your primary business focus is predominantly serving rural market. They took that out and now they're looking to put it back in. I think some lenders, because it turned out with it missing to be a bit of a loophole. So anyway, those are the two proposed rules people should go pay attention to, Dave, and I'll kick it back to you.
Oh, I can't wait to have you back on the Hot Topic segment. It's kind of like we get the old band to just get back and visit about that stuff. We haven't done one in a long, long time, and I'm looking forward to having you participate. How cool is that? Looking forward to it.
It'll be
fun. Say hi to Bill and Al and the whole team there. Love what Union Home Mortgage is doing and how they've responded to all this. It's just a great leadership in that company. You got a great home there, Alice. All right. Folks, we're going to get over to Al in just a second, but we're always talking about Finastra. They're one of our anchor sponsors. Been here forever, and we're just so grateful, but their technology isn't old, been around forever. They're updating it regularly, and I encourage you to check it out. FusionBot has got some really nice new features, as well as their point-of-sale system is just solid. It's something that can make such a difference. They have over 1,400 clients already using the system, which is amazing. And you're going to want to see what they're doing, especially how it connects and seamlessly works together. Now, the point of sale system will work with other systems, but I encourage you to check it out. Alan Pollack, good to have you here. And you got this week's weekly tech update. We always put in a shout out for your employer with Open Close, and you consult with me on tech issues. So good to have you.
What's amazing is everybody I work with allows me to have all these crazy opinions every day. So much love and appreciation to everybody that pretends to listen to me and let me speak my mind. I was talking to some folks this morning. It's kind of funny. Being in technology, especially years ago, you'd always get, can you fix my computer or can you, you know, check my virusware? And maybe in the late 90s, I helped people with that stuff. But, you know, I do get a lot of people asking me, what's up with this technology, social distancing, and is that true? So I wanted to be the Snopes for the Lickin' on Lending group today. And I got to tell you, wearables for workers is 1,000% true. And there's a number of companies coming out with devices that clip on hard hats, wrists, belts, and they sound an alarm. There's even there's a 6-foot alarm backpack. Amazon's got a distance assistant. You name it. There's bumper tables. And there's a bubble that Cheddar had it out there that can go on your head, and it looks ridiculous, but you're in your own space. I just don't know what happens if you sneeze, right?
That's so funny.
Right?
Yeah. I saw the one bar where everyone's wearing like large inner tubes on it, and they have a table that's on the top of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so did you see that one? That was hilarious too, bumping around in there and going social distance things. So everyone's got their big inner tubes. So it's crazy stuff. But what's going on in the world of technology? Are we getting any gains in this? One of the questions we're going to talk about in a hot topic I got for you, Alan, is a lot of money is being spent on tech, but are we getting anywhere?
Love that question. Let's talk about it then. Another question you were going to ask me is, what's the new norm? And I'm going to tell you right now, which will be a segue into our second half of today's podcast, who says there's going to be a norm? Yeah, let's talk about some cool news, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk a lot about reverse mortgages, and our friend Scott at Open Mortgage just recently did a press release. But in addition, he was interviewed and he talked just about what his company's doing during COVID and how he's investing technology in reverse mortgages. But I also saw that Quantum Reverse just got awarded a patent, which is, it's not uncommon to be awarded a patent, but it's very hard to get a patent. And they just got one for their software handling of what they call FA, financial assessment requirements for home equity conversion mortgages. And they talk about this online process. It's just something unique that they're doing, that they were actually awarded a patent. So you want to check it out, especially if you're looking to partner or get into reverse mortgages. You want to take a look at Quantum Reverse. This was pretty interesting, David. This is a company called Renofi. And it was just like BurgerFi, but it's Reno. And they offer what they call Renofi loans. And so they're not a lender, they're a tech provider. But what they do is they actually help lenders using technology help borrowers qualify for renovation loans by lending against what the potential value will be after renovation, rather than having the necessary or available equity that they have today, and prevents the borrowers from having to go leverage retirement accounts and credit cards and personal loans and all that kind of stuff. So new technology, you want to check it out, Renofi. And David, this is kind of interesting. We don't talk a lot about real estate tech. We do sometimes. If you're an avid reader of some of our industry publications, you'll hear a whole bunch about it. Well, the iBuyer movement. And if you don't know what the iBuyer movement is, it's basically a company that uses technology to make an offer on your home instantly. And an iBuyer represents a dramatic shift in the way people are buying and selling homes, offering in many cases a simpler, more convenient alternative to traditional home sales. Well, there's an iBuyer platform called Zavvi, Z-A-V-V-I-E. And they just released what they call their offer optimizer. So we talk a lot on the mortgage side of the fence about like mortgage coaches, as an example, right? And how they provide the ability for a loan officer to have the tools to share multiple options for a buyer. Well, what the offer optimizer Zavvi does is something very similar. They provide, based on information on the property and technology, of course, the ability to make an offer on your home instantly. And they provide a comparison of what they call bridge options, open market options, and an instant sale option. And they show you how much you'll spend, the time frame, what the outgoing costs are. It's really kind of interesting. So if you actually are looking, or you're partnered as a lender with iBuyer platform, or you're looking to become more iBuyer centric, take a look at Zavvi, Z-A-V-V-I-E. A very interesting technology. And David, two more quick topics I wanted to mention, and I'm going to tee off an awesome topic for next week. One is our friends over at Home Captain. I don't know if everyone remembers VA Loan Captain, it was started by a veteran actually called Grant Moon. His name is Grant Moon. And they did some interesting stuff. They were recently acquired by Redify in February of this year. And they are now, they've commercially launched something called the Portfolio Retention Program. And so if you think about AVMs, like Zestimates, they have all this national data and they let you sort of pick your path, do it yourself. And they've got all this different fees and so there's real estate technology blended in with the mortgage part of it. But what's even better than that is they actually help you incubate the data that you have. So abandonment or servicing data and recapture. Right. And they're seeing over 20% back on their portfolio partners, which is huge. And they're also leveraging what you and I have talked about many times. And not even about the digital human, but if you think a year ago, David, we're talking about AI chatbot and they have an AI chatbot that handles the conversation and that recapture process. And then this is the really interesting part. Besides the technology and that 20% increase in recapture, they are heavily female based, up to 70%, which is not only just in females, but also representation on military spouses. Diversity has two parts, right? Of course, what we're going through as a country right now. And there are almost slim to none African Americans that have come out of Silicon Valley and that have started a lot of companies. And if you Google it, you will not find very much at all. So we are heavily lacking in that area. And I'm sure that we'll start to see a shift in what we're doing, especially in mortgage technology. But separately, Microsoft has a program called the Military Spouse Technology Academy, which actually it's a 22-week on-site training program that helps train on numerous areas of fintech and then actually has hiring programs and partnerships. Better.com, by the way, in our industry, just pledged to hire 5,000 military spouses and the same thing with Accenture. So we'll hear more about diversity. And David, just to end it, the kickoff for next week is CIO versus CTO. What is the difference?
Oh, good. Can't wait. Looking forward to your contribution in the Hot Topic segment. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate you very much. Andy Schell, Dr. Andy Schell, the Private Doctor. He had some great barbecue on Saturday. Good to continue the discussion here today, friend.
You betcha, Dave. It's always awesome to be here with you today. My mom was a military spouse. My dad was in Vietnam after being in World War II.
I think there's more programs for spouses of vets today than there were back then. But your family is very successful. Your dad did real well. Mom raised a family of a lot of doctors. So a lot of brain cells in your family.
Well, it's all genetic. That's why I have low cholesterol, not because of how I eat, but because of genetics. Yeah. One of the things that every homeowner does, or pretty much every homeowner does, is they send in a mortgage payment. And maybe they write a check. Maybe they go on their online system. They do it through bill pay, whatever. Lots of different ways that people can send in the mortgage payment. But that's what every homeowner does. Everybody that's closing a loan today will, within the next 60 days, send in a payment. When that payment comes in, that's mortgage servicing. I'm very excited about mortgage servicing. It's one of my favorite topics because every month as a mortgage servicer, we get to interact with our customers. I mean, it's an amazing opportunity to help customers understand mortgage, understand properties, understand insurance, consider better alternatives for insurance, to understand the benefits of prepaying. So you want to be able to, depending upon your age, you want to make some room for that reverse mortgage because that reverse mortgage has caps on it. So you got to get your LTV down. Yeah. So being able to understand all of that. As a user of mortgage servicing, as somebody who makes a mortgage payment, I never hear this stuff from my servicer. So it's like, this is interesting. This is important stuff. Why aren't we communicating more? Because servicing has the opportunity to be a value-adding function. We get to help people understand things. So if you think about it, what other business has a relationship with a customer that you interact with every single month for 30 years?
What are we doing to take advantage of that opportunity?
So Teresa and I are starting our MBA-sponsored servicing webinar in 2 weeks. We start and we run for 2 weeks and we talk about big picture servicing and then we talk about the nuts and bolts and the functions and who does what in servicing. So we're very passionate about servicing. We hope that you'll join us for the webinar. We talk a lot about different dynamics associated with servicing, including what I just described. One of the things that I've been looking for with a technology provider is I want for them to give me the ability to send a note to a customer 60 or 90 days before their hazard insurance expires and say, oh, by the way, your hazard insurance is going to expire on September the 15th. If you're thinking about making a change, now's the time to start looking at it, check with various providers to get the information, and then be sure and make sure we get that new declaration page because you don't want us to have to put insurance on your house for you. So be sure and get us that information. So many capability in servicing that could be done that's not.
It's crazy. It's true. So the moral of that story is to learn more, attend your webinar.
You bet.
So it's so good. Andy Schell. Dr. Andy Schell, thank you so much. The good news, folks, I have talked Andy Schell into doing his own podcast. It's coming. I know Christmas is coming, but he's actually working on it. He's committed to doing it. I cannot wait.
That's right.
You bet. All right. Thank you so much. Folks, that ends this week's weekly update. If you're listening live, you're just going to stay right on here, and we're going to get right into the Hot Topic segment. If you're listening on a downloaded basis, the Hot Topic segment is the next segment. Stay right on in, and we'll get right into it. Welcome, folks, to the Hot Topic segment. We're so glad to have you here on this July 13th, and we're going to get into something we used to do on a regular basis. It's called the Roundtable. It's where we get our regulars together, and we talk about the issues of the day. So I'm really looking forward to it. Joining on the call, we hear him on a pre-recorded base all the time, is Les Parker. He's dialed in. So glad to have Les Parker here. We also have Matt, who is our newest contributor, along with Andy, Alice, and Alan. So anyway, welcome everybody. Les Parker, start off with you. Good to see you. I loved your segment. Pump, pump, pump it up. How about that, Les? That was pretty good.
Listen, it's going to be a wonderful time for mortgage bankers. They're still low rates. Housing is going up in terms of the purchases. There's been some pent-up demand through COVID and during the lockdown, so it's an exciting time.
It is exciting, but how long? So here's the big thing I want to ask you, and then again, this is an open mic session, so Matt, you can just jump in, and we're going to go right to you in a minute, but how long? What's your anticipation, Les?
I thought Matt did a good job in terms of kind of calibrating between fundamentals and technicals, and so
yeah.
It is true that in a certain sense, we never know the future. However, what we do know is we know mega trends. There's a reason why executives across the United States and particularly strategists, they don't even live in today, they live in tomorrow. And that is a large part of what I do every day. I kind of live 1 to 2 years ahead of where the world is. If you're not living there, then it's difficult to kind of know what trends are influencing it. So markets are not only looking at what is this very moment, like what is the nominal rate of return? Well, what is the real rate of return once you subtract out inflation? So right now, those are negative. They're negative about 70 basis points for the 10-year real rates. When you look at the moment that we're in, what the value of a stock is, what's the current interest rate, it is the total of all those that participate in their markets, whether it's oil, whether it's interest rates, whether it's stocks, of what the future is. That is what that price is. It is what everyone thinks the future will be. So as strategists, we have to try and understand, well, what are the trends to where we're going? And then as news comes in, do we adjust where we're going?
Very good. So I want to get over to the Matt real fast. So in a nutshell, Matt, how long is the good times going to keep on rolling?
Interest rates, you mean?
Interest rates, yeah, and overall volume, the housing market, generally speaking. You're looking at the screens. You're looking at all the news from CNBC and everywhere else. So
yeah, I think clearly rates have already shown us that they're willing to hold lower for longer this time around. It certainly doesn't hurt that the Fed is very much erring on the side of over-accommodating financial market. Granted, the Fed doesn't set mortgage rates, but they're talking about yield curve control. And if that were to come to pass, it would be another step toward that, because the Fed very much does control the shorter end of the yield curve. Even if they're not directly controlling two-year treasuries, they are controlling overnight rates. And 2 years are only going to go so far from overnight rates because of their nearness in temporal proximity. But the rest of the yield curve, the rest of the rate spectrum radiates out from there. And so if that thing is pinned at zero, it's going to limit ultimately how high rates are going to go, because the yield curve itself oscillates in a more regular way than interest rates in general. All that to say that it's a more fertile soil than we've ever had for rates staying lower for longer. Everything depends on COVID, right? So if things go right down the middle, I think we still have low rates through most of 2020, but there is a real possibility that they bump up by the end of this year if something great happens from a public health standpoint. Something terrible happens from a public health standpoint, then we see more new all-time lows.
Will we ever see negative interest rates. Any chance of that in your minds? Trump kind of pushed for that at different times. I thought the Fed said no way. And thoughts, less than Matt, real fast, then I want to get over to Andy.
Yes, I actually think that we're already in negative interest rates, and certainly correct that the assessment, we're negative rates in terms of real rates, but we are in negative rates. And the effective policies of the Federal Reserve are that. I want to say that it's probably going to last as until we get to the true Matrix 4. Matrix 4 is supposed to be out in 2022. And I call our current environment by the G4 central bank as we're living in Matrix 4 right now. So it is true that they're not explicitly targeting the two-year yet, but for all practical purposes, the Federal Reserve alone has $9 trillion at its disposal. It already has the rights to be able to buy every type of fixed-income product that's out there, including fallen angels. So as far as I'm concerned, the Fed is already controlling all major fixed rate items.
Andy Schell, when you look at this like an economist, I mean, you definitely think reflectively. You and I both have kids that are at that age. They're the Gen Zers and the millennials entering into the housing market. James, your oldest son, great guy. Love that guy, working as a loan officer and a successfully so, I might say. James listens to the podcast, so give him a shout out. But they're coming into the market. That demographic move has got to have an impact. Thoughts?
So I've been watching, as an adult in the workforce, I've watched now 4 decades come and go. What I know is that you never know what's going to happen, but it always seems to work out okay. The sun will come up tomorrow. And I've had that experience many, many times when I thought something bad happened. There have been a number of bad things. And part of it was because of regulatory changes, like the Tax Act of 1986 helped to destroy real estate in Texas. There's a bunch of elements. I can give a ton of examples. But the dynamic nature of our economy is so robust fundamentally that we're going to be okay. There will be an effect if Joe Biden becomes president. The stock values are going to drop because taxes are going up. So we know that's going to happen. But that's not an uncertainty. That's a variable that's dependent upon the electorate. But in terms of the world that people are in today, I agree with what Matt said. If COVID is less impactful, then rates may come back up. If COVID's more impactful, then they'll stay back down. I agreed with what Les was saying, too. We actually are in, given the inflation levels, I was just looking at the CPI reports, that there are elements of inflation that mean that what we're really paying is we're losing money every day when we invest in currency-denominated values like CDs or bank rates. So all that to say, poo-poo economics, but the U.S. economy is built on fundamental economics, and the capitalist system will be reactive. And the capitalist system will be reactive and adjust to the next thing that happens. Our Fed will adjust as needed based on what it takes to drive the economy forward. The government has so much data to monitor what's going to happen that I really do sleep well at night. These things don't scare me because even if I don't like who's at the wheel, they're at the wheel protecting everybody. And so the people who don't get up in the morning and say, what can I do bad today? They want to do the best job they can. And I believe that at the core of the drive behind whoever it happens to be, people do the best they can with what they've got.
That's really good. I want to get over to you, Alice, because you guys are dealing with volumes. I talked to one of our good friends, Alice, just before the podcast. In fact, I'm recording a podcast with him on Wednesday. It's your good buddy, Vince Parlov, up there in your old home state. He's at UWM. They're dealing with the record volumes. I want to get some insights on how they're dealing with the growth. How are you guys dealing with the growth? What's going on at Union Home? I mean, everybody is, say, drowning is probably maybe one word you could say, prospering, drowning, whatever. We're doing all of the above, Alice. How are you guys dealing with it up there?
Doing a lot of things. I want to just circle back real quick and comment on what everyone was talking about in terms of sales and looking towards the future. I think for those of us from a day-to-day standpoint, what does that mean, right? What is everything that Andy and Les and everybody was just talking about in terms of those economic views and that? It's all critical, absolutely, to rates and some of the impact to that volume, but at the end of the day, you have to still grow as a company. So regardless of rates, we continue to say, what do we need to grow and how do we leverage our talent so that for every loan officer, we don't have to hire X number of people. And that's really the technology space as well as re-engineering how you do things. And as you grow, one of the key things that we've done is really relook at the whole manufacturing process. I think one of our fundamentals that we have not let go of and shocks a lot of people that we are able to maintain it is a loan officer is still accountable for a high quality loan application. And for me, I'm a Detroiter, so I love assembly line stuff. And I would say one of our keys to our success is you get a quality product on the assembly line in the first place, and everything else after that you can manage. But when junk hits the assembly line, or you try and work around junk hitting the assembly line, you will never be able to grow and be efficient. And so I would say that's our secret sauce. A lot of loan officers that don't like to hear that, right? In the recruiting, it can be a, well, wait a minute, I don't have to do anything. I called it the classic dump and run, right? That was an LOI process. But yeah, you can't grow with that
well,
model.
Well, you and I worked together with Keith Pulaski at Radius Financial. It's such an honor to work with you. And that's
great
one
job.
Of the classics. And what they have done, which we're going to you, Alan, we're coming to you next with this, is the foundation to what Keith did, Alice, was the work you and I did on defining their process. And Keith, remember when he came into the room? I love Keith Pulaski for many reasons. Both he and his partner are just outstanding people, well-run company. They have some of the lowest costs in the industry right now. It's because they invested in the future by investing in what is the process, what comes next. He says, my concern, Dave and Alice, is that we got all these independent manufacturing processes going on in our company. And that cannot work efficiently and can't get us to where I believe we need to go to be maintain being competitive. And Alice, you were there. Reflections on that real fast. That was such a fun project to do.
It was. And I think to your point, it is difficult for people to adopt to a consistent way of doing things until they see the light. And so I think one of the things we did was show them the number of days you could save in the loan process by saying, my team gets to do things consistently. I mean, you still might have specialty groups for certain specialty products, but you have to have a consistent way of doing things to keep things moving. And it allows you to innovate. Now you can apply technology faster when you have one process.
Excellent stuff. It's so much fun to do that. And I'm getting text messages in here going, this is the best hot topic. So this is the best podcast you've done. Why don't you do the roundtables more often? Okay, I promise you we will. This is good. But Alan, let's get over to you talking about these epic volumes. You look at the companies that are doing this. It's all about process. Andy, Alice, and I get it. I'm sure Matt does with what he sees out there. And Les certainly is a fan of it. What is the new normal? That's one of the questions that keeps coming up. When it comes to technology, we're investing more and more. Some companies are realizing a dollar return on it, are getting actually a return. They're seeing costs drop.
Right.
Others are just spending more money, and it may be having some nominal deal. What's the difference, Alan?
Well, it's interesting. You have to invest to save so you can reinvest. And a lot of times you think that you've done a good job and you can move forward. But with the new norm, which I said before, who says there is a new norm? Things are going to continue to change. We're going to continue to disrupt and innovate. I mean, look what happened earlier this year. Now home buyers can actually, or looking to refinance your home, can go and do their own appraisal, right? And it geotags all the location. We have iBuyers. We have all this great technology. There's a lot of challenges, though, that we as lenders are having to continue to overcome. And one is reputational risk. A lot of people are competing on service. Everyone's got the same rate. Everyone can have the same rate. It's service. It's reputational risk. And so you can't just take technology and implement it and expect that your operational workflow is going to be 60% more efficient and you've got the assembly line. You have to be thinking in terms of multiple assembly lines working in parallel with technology much smarter than a generic assembly line.
Yeah.
You operationally need to think like an assembly line. But loan officers, they are the service, right? And you need to empower them to be stronger and better. But I could talk for hours on this topic. One of the biggest, I'd say almost sins of the past, is that we assume you buy technology and that's it. You install it and go. But the reality is, right, you need support from executive leadership from the top. And it's a mixture of people and technology. And sometimes we don't correctly study how people and technology interact. And we have to fine tune that based on how we operationally work. And not every lender is the same. Not every, you know, geographical location lends the same. We have regulation to make it the same, but I'm talking about differently, right? The type of properties,
right,
the value of properties, and so forth. So I don't know. There's just a lot there, but we operationally, David, have absolutely become more efficient when you look at the different technologies that we've been using.
We have just a couple of minutes. We got to wrap this up really quickly. M&A's on fire. You're working on some major transactions. Any comments?
I think what Alan just said is absolutely where the heads are of those investors that are interested in buying mortgage companies today, that they believe they can bring significant lift by operational efficiency.
Yes.
And when you talk about operational efficiency, ultimately, if that does not equal better customer customer satisfaction, then it's going to end up actually giving you a negative return on investment as far as I'm concerned. We have a major problem in the mortgage banking world in that we continue to have low NPS scores. So we have bad customer satisfaction. In mortgage world, if you have a zero NPS, you're considered successful. And until we start seeing mortgage companies, at least some of them, get into the 20s and 40s, 40s is a good target, this industry still has significant customer service problems. And concerning PPP, which a lot of mortgage companies did go in and get some monies to be able to handle their payroll for a certain time period, if they took down more than $2 million, they will be audited by the SBA. And we are helping people put a wrapper around whatever their rationalization is by putting an industry wrapper around it so they have the industry conditions of why it is they should be received for business. And in this final point, I do believe everyone that received those funds, even though right now is great times in mortgage banking, there are significant hurdles ahead, and it's around capitalization. We are fortunate that Dodd-Frank on its 10-year anniversary right now did at least require significant capital to be infused in banking. So now we have higher capital levels, which is why banks are surviving through this. Mortgage companies still do not have adequate capital. That is a problem for this industry.
Which is, gets right into the Quicken IPO that's coming, raising $100 million, and Dan Gilbert and company are going to maintain control of the company. I think we're getting so many questions in, but overwhelming response. This is one of the best podcasts, hot topic segments. Love all the special guests you have, but this is one of the best. We are going to do this again, listeners. We did not get into the IPO market. What's the potential for raising capital? There's a lot in technology, a million questions. So please be patient with us as we launch and get back into this. Alice, we're going to go around real quickly. And Matt, any parting comments as you listen to this?
No, I'm good. Man, it's been covered very well by everybody.
Yeah. Fast and furious. Andy Schell, thoughts?
I would just leverage about the PPP and what Les said. And well, the government does have the opportunity to retroactively change things. And this is one of the places where we need to be mindful of that. So I think there is a fundamental foundation behind why to get the PPP, but you'd better make sure you documented it thoroughly. And it sounds like Les can help do that. I've helped my clients do that as well. So that's it, Dave.
That's good. Andy Schell, thanks for being here this week. Alan, your thoughts, wrapping it up?
Just keep on talking to the community and learning what others are doing and continue to revise your plan. And it's an ongoing process to be excellent. So good luck.
It is. And Alice, Alvy, you guys are talking about performing in excellence. Union Home does a great job of it. And you're such a big part of that recipe of excellence up there. Thought, parting comments?
I think our parting comments, Dave, we need to talk about leadership, because with all this growth, really making sure you've got a succession of leaders growing within your company to manage the growth and keep that culture alive is critical.
That is such a good parting comment. What's interesting, Alice, the number one of all the things we do coaching and consulting. The number one service that's under demand of our services right now, almost 2-to-1, is leadership coaching and consulting. It's so true, Alice. What a perfect note to end on. Thank you to all our regulars for being here in this very fast speed topic review on the hot topic. Appreciate you all as listeners. Thank you so much for the positive feedback. Yes, we will do this again soon. So much to talk about, and we appreciate you being here. Be sure to tune in. We got Vince Parlov. We're going to be interviewing him, airing that as soon as we get it edited, put that up as a special, and there's so much to go on. Have a great week, everybody. Good to have you with us. Next week, we got Anthony Flynn, a CEO of Work Faith Connection, and also joining us will be Gwen Muse. We're talking about what you could do in your community to make a difference. With all the protests going on, what are you doing to be proactive and make a difference? We're going to have a great podcast next week on a Hot Topic segment. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.